Chapter 18. 29th of September. Junon Branch Office. Rain lashed the tall windows of the command center with a ferocity rarely witnessed in Midgar, creating a mesmeric display as the droplets reflected the light of the office. Far below, the stormy sea was laying siege to the vast stretch of Junon docks, its waves battering the breakwaters as if sent by the Leviathan itself. On the horizon loomed an army of dark clouds, sporadically livened by forks of purple lightning. The city was silent, its denizens shielded from the tempest within its impressive armoured walls. And all the while, the Marco cannon dominated the skyline, like a watchful sentinel. Officially named the Sister Ray, it was the design of Director Scarlet, now head of weapons development, to defend the municipality from enemy forces. With a barrel more than 70 feet in diameter, and powered by the phenomenal energy sucked from the regional reactor, the cannon had an accurate range of over 100 miles, capable of obliterating anything in its path. Hojo was no stranger to the colossal weapon, nor this elevated view of the bay. In his youth, Junon had hosted the Shinra Company's headquarters in this very building, including the facilities of its burgeoning Department of Biological and Biotechnical Development. He had wandered the halls here as an intern, dissecting every textbook and published paper he could get his hands on. Into the early hours he would peruse the division's archives each night, while his peers frequented the bars and seedy establishments of Lower Junon, cavorting with locals and whichever exotic sailors had arrived aboard the myriad cargo vessels. For half a century, the city had been among the planet's most important ports, a key distribution hub between east and west. Strategically flanked by a deep, natural harbour and the bluffs of neighbouring headlands, it was a modern metropolis that had advanced exponentially over the decades. Its broad commercial boulevards and sandstone tenement blocks were stacked above one another, rising sequentially from the docks to the skyscraping tower at its summit. Such enterprising architecture is what inspired President Shinra's vision of the Midgar Plate, and his relocation of the company to the purpose-built headquarters there 25 years ago. With it went the Central Military Command, though Junon retained its Air Force and Navy bases. The latter were charged with guarding the city's state-of-the-art but vulnerable underwater reactor during the Wutai War, with Junon's structural shape being heavily reinforced and the Marco cannon installed. The transition itself led to the Genova project being undertaken at the Nibelheim laboratories instead, away from the distraction and disruption of the move.
"Yo, Professor!"
The sound of the Turk's voice grated on Hojo, almost as much as the blasé pose he had adopted in the doorway. Turning to address the intruder, he slowly pushed his spectacles back up the bridge of his nose. Atop the boy's gaunt, gormless features was a shock of red hair, pinned back from his forehead by a pair of goggles. His shirt was largely unbuttoned beneath the black suit jacket, with some kind of electromagnetic rod sticking from his back pocket. It was unprofessional, especially for a member of the investigation division. He tutted. All Turks were cockroaches as far as Hojo was concerned.
"What do you want?" he asked dryly.
"The high wind's almost ready for boarding," said the young man, his nasal drawl a bastardization of the language.
"They're sending us on the high wind.
The news came as a surprise. of all the transcontinental navigation crafts and hydroplanes hangared at the airport, this one was relatively dated, a relic of the war. She was named for Captain Sid, the eccentric pilot who was now training for the company's inaugural spaceflight. "Wouldn't a Gelnica be more prudent?" The Turk replied with a casual shrug. "She's the fastest airship in the fleet, and you're needed at the Mount Nebel facility pretty urgently, yo."
"I care not for the fate of the Markonoids. I'm far more interested in what Sephiroth's up to, and what he's found in my old lab. Inform Sung I will prepare for departures at my leisure," Hojo instructed dismissively, returning his attention to the vista. "Run along now."
As the cockroach scuttled back into the shadows of the adjacent corridors, another flash of lightning momentarily brought the window pane to life before him. He saw in it an aging grey face that hardly seemed familiar, with thinning hair draped over his shirt collar, and a brow furrowed with 50 or so lines, one for each of his long years on this planet. Time waited for no man, not even one as brilliant as he. Hojo was older now than his mentor, Professor Garst, had been when he died. A scientist far more experienced and infinitely more pioneering than that compassionate fool. Garst had hired him direct from the academy, recognizing his genius, but had repeatedly held his student back. "You lack empathy," he was often accused. But empathy was a weakness in this field. There was no place for it in Hojo's experiments.
Perhaps he feared I would one day surpass him. Or perhaps he knew I would.
The Ancients Project presented Hojo's first real opportunity to showcase his unique talent. After months of testing, the department had determined the specimen discovered at the northern crater to be the remains of a female Setra, contrary to Hojo's own inconclusive findings. Thereafter, he was assigned to a specific branch of the Ancients Project, codenamed Project Genova. He was paired with inferior scientists, tasked with genetically engineering and reintroducing a strictly controlled Setran population. The thought of it still disgusted him. Not the ethics, of course, but being associated with Hollander's incompetence. When the time came to begin the staged relocation of the science department from Junon to Midgar, it was decided that work on the Genova organism should be continued off-site. Prying eyes and stifled progress had become a concern for the president, and he was not a patient man. To host the specimen, a dedicated containment chamber was constructed at the heart of the Mount Nebel Marco reactor, and Hojo was sent to assist Garst in further study. Joining them was another biologist who had for years worked in the laboratories below Shinra Manor, studying the properties of stagnant Marco. Her name was Dr. Lucretia, a dark-haired beauty with a reputation for pushing the boundaries of science. Hojo had previously read her thesis, The Planet's Pulse, and dismissed it as speculative drivel, something about sentient xenoforms the planet had created to ensure its own survival. When at last they met, he found his condemnation to be misplaced, for her intellect was as striking as her appearance. She understood the value of their research. She understood the risks. In a curious turn of events, however, the company deemed it fit to appoint the son of Professor Grimoire, Shinra's former head of science and mentor to Lucretia, as the team's security detail. A naive, whinging man-child, he did not appreciate the intricacies of what they were trying to achieve. Had Lucretia not been responsible for Grimoire's death, she may not have felt obligated by guilt to befriend the Turk at all. In the end, she came to her senses, and threw herself into Hojo's arms. Together they changed the world, masterminding the success of the Genova Project. But it exacted a steep toll.
"Beautiful, beautiful Lucretia, why did you take your own life?"
Exhaling, Hojo slipped the full moon glasses from his face and wiped the lenses on the sleeve of his jacket. Time had quashed his pain, but not his desire to comprehend her motives. He was indifferent to all those who had come and gone over the course of his career. They were test subjects, playthings, necessary presences to support his work, his hypotheses. Lucretia had been unlike them, a lighthouse in his sea of apathy. He never told her. Not that it mattered. Infatuation was simply another weakness, and he had left no trace of their relationship anywhere in Shinra's archives. Not even in the basement library currently being scrutinized by Sephiroth. When Hojo had seized control of the science department following Gast's resignation, his first act was to cleanse the records of anything that might compromise him. By then, Sephiroth's potential and the foundations of Soldier were no longer mere fantasy, and certain facts about his origins were best concealed from the pages of history. He was adamant that his greatest achievement would not be smeared by the failures of Hollander and his degrading monster Genesis. The latter was a filthy abomination, the product of an unenlightened era. However, if Tsung's report was accurate, not only was Genesis fully aware of the Genova Project's finer details, but he had deliberately set Sephiroth on the path to discovering the truth for himself. And Hojo was most eager to observe how things would unfold.